On September 18, 2007, a computer science professor by the name of Randy Pouch stepped in front of an audience of several hundred cheering students and faculty members. He was there to deliver what is commonly known in the university settings as his last lecture. And for the next hour and a half, Dr. Pausch entertained those who had gathered there with his customary enthusiasm and his wit. If there was ever a man who loved living, it was Randy Pausch. And yet, despite all of the laughter and the one-liners that accompanied his lecture, there was an unmistakable feeling of grief that permeated the air that day. This was not a hypothetical lecture. Randy Pausch was not a retiring professor who was just saying his last goodbyes. At age 46, this energetic educator, husband, friend, and father was in the final stages of pancreatic cancer. The doctor had told him that he had less than 2 months to live. And so everyone who gathered there that day knew that this was indeed his last lecture. It was his last opportunity to tell the people that were the most important to him, his colleagues, his students, and even his extended family, just what it was that he wanted them to remember about him when he was finally gone. Early on in that lecture, he told the people that if they had a herbal remedy for his disease, please don't see him. Some of you may remember seeing him on YouTube. He got down and he did several push-ups, and including, you know, the clapping in between, and he got up and he was still had his breath. He said, "You know, I've always loved living. And even though I'm dying, I'm still having fun." And then I think he said over and over again the one thing he wanted them to remember. He said, "You have no control over the hand that's dealt to you, but you can decide how you're going to play it." Now, every time I read his book or watch that YouTube, I wonder, if I knew that I only had a few weeks left, what would I want people to remember about me? What is the one thing about my life that I want others to remember? After all, it is often those last words that we speak that people remember the most. That's the dilemma that was facing Jesus in today's gospel reading. From the small portion that I read, what you may not know is that Jesus was sitting in the upper room. It was his last meal. Now, Passover had always been a joyous time for him and his disciples, and no doubt this last Passover was filled with all the customary good food and good conversation. But you know, I believe that almost from the very beginning of that meal, his disciples knew something was wrong. For if you go in front of the scripture that I read, what you will discover is that After washing the disciples' feet, something that was in and of itself quite unusual, John tells us that Jesus became, quote, deeply troubled in spirit and said, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And immediately, the disciples began to look at each other very suspiciously. But at the same time, there was enough doubt in their mind that they also began to whisper, "Is it I? Could I possibly be the one?" But as he realized that the disciples were beginning to lose it, before they had very long to go down that particular road of blaming each other and themselves, Jesus stopped them. And he did his best to reassure all of them, including Judas, the one we love to hate. He said, "I'll be okay. And so will you." And then he knew. He knew it was now or never. And Jesus gave his last lecture. He told them the one thing he wanted them to remember about his life and his teachings. What was that one thing? You remember the end of the scripture? Anyone? "A new commandment I give you, what is it? Love one another as I have loved you." There was no more time for the disciples to ask questions or debate. Jesus knew that essentially those would be his last words to them. And so, just in case they had any doubt about what he meant, he spent the rest of the evening as a living example. Throughout those long, horror-filled hours, he continued to love his friends and his enemies. He prayed for his persecutors and he asked for forgiveness for his executioners. When the world turned against him, he cried out, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." It was almost as if he was looking at his disciples and saying, "Just do it. Just love one another." No exceptions. No one left out. Just love one another. But you know, this is not an easy commandment, because it runs counter to almost everything we have been taught. It challenges us to reach out to those that we would rather walk by. It leads us down roads and paths that we'd rather not travel. out of everything that Jesus taught, this is the one commandment that continues to trip us up. It is the one commandment that the church stands with the whole entire world and yells, impossible. We can't do it. We can't love everyone because everyone is not lovable. Almost 15 years ago, the late Reverend Hugh Eichelberg preached a sermon on this passage, and what he said in the middle of that sermon is that it is so unfortunate that so many of the churches have allowed and encouraged members to look at love as nothing but that warm, fuzzy feeling. There's the notion, he said, that love is something that we get when someone says something that moves us. And while such moments may be the seeds of love, it is not until love goes beyond that feeling to some kind of a living commitment that it actually becomes love. Jesus calls us to love as we have been loved. Not in theory, but in real life. Love one another as I have loved you. It's not easy. But do you think it was easy for Jesus to ask for forgiveness when he was hanging on that cross being mocked? When he was in excruciating pain? When he looked out and he couldn't see his best friends? Do you think it was easy? Do you think it's easy when he looks at some of the things that we do? Some of the things that I have done in my life? And says, but I still love you. Was it easy for him to reach out to Judas? And to Pontius Pilate? So why do we think it should be easy for us? To love as Jesus loves means we must struggle to love the stranger, the enemy, those who have hurt us, those who stand for everything we despise. To love as Jesus loves means reaching out when we would rather pull in. But it also means opening ourselves up when we have been the failures. It means allowing Jesus to continue to love us and allowing others to love us too. Jesus loves those who do not deserve to be loved. He never gives up on us. He never quits. A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. As challenging as it may be, this commandment is the cornerstone of the church. Without it, we're nothing. But with it, we are everything. So let's just do as we're told and leave the rest to God. And who knows what life it could change, starting with our own. To God be the glory.